Introducing former Warriors sideline reporter, Matt Steinmetz.
Phenomenal hair. Yeah.
Former sales rep for a phone company, Daryl the Guru Johnson.
Hell yeah!
And former Wheel of Fortune contestant, Dan Dibley.
No.
This is Steiny Guru and Dibs.
For show.
On 95.7, The Game.
Well, who would have thought a late season game against the Washington Wizards was going to be such a big one, but that's what it feels like as the Golden State Warriors play the Wizards today at 4 o'clock. We'll have it all here for you, 95.7 The Game, J.D. Covey, Warriors live at 2:30. And guys, I just, you know, I'm counting down the hours and the minutes to 4 o'clock because somebody's apparently going to put a show on tonight that's going to be worth watching. And my, how far we've come the last couple weeks with Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. Good morning, guys. What's up, Dibs? What's up, Goo?
What's going on, Steiny? It's the excitement. I mean, 6 hours away, 4 hours of show, and then Goo and I are going to rack up a little podcast today, debuting Liquidate All Assets. That's going to drop today. And then when that's done, Goo, maybe a quick round of weeding in the front yard, and then it's tip-off time. And Steiny said it. You said it perfectly. This is a game in late April against Washington for a team that's 500 and the 10 seed. There should be no interest in this. This should be maybe not even televised, quite frankly. You can find it only on 95.7 The Game. But yet, because of Steph Curry, Goo, not only is it on, it's must watch, and there's just so much about it that I cannot wait to see tonight.
Yeah, I'm with both of you. I got my popcorn ready. And I got to say this, Steiny, you talked about the meaning of the game. We know what Steph's doing. Michael Jackson, Elvis Presley, we get that. But I'm looking at Portland at the sixth seed. I know there's only 14 left, but I'm just saying, guys, if they were to, you know, go 11-3, which would be a stretch over the next 14, the Warriors, and end the season, I'm wondering, could they get a hobbling Portland team? Like, could you see a scenario to where they're not in the play-in game? That's what excites me. Like, stay hot. But other teams may, you know, tumble a little bit. Dallas lost to Sac their last time out. So I'm watching it intently to see what the chef is going to do. I'm waiting on Drake to come out with a new verse or song. But also, Steiny, the team aspect of this thing. This is crazy, man. Again, Rick Barry.
Well, I honestly, all season long, I've probably been meeting that optimism with the snicker or sarcastic laugh. But I'm not going to do that today, Goo, because this team's won 6 of 8. You know, it's amazing that they'd lost to the Atlanta Hawks a couple weeks ago, dropped to 23-27, and we were starting to think, you know what, you get into that lottery, see if you can't make something special happen. But now I think it feels like people are feeling very differently about this team, and now there's more optimism about, yeah, let's see if we can make some noise. That seems like it's changed, Dibs.
Yeah, and it should change, and I've certainly come over toward the side of go on a run, quote-unquote, which might just entail you get an actual series because, you know, a couple weeks ago when Steph was out with the tailbone, the 10 spot looked to be very vulnerable. You looked, last time you played Washington, to be in a different place as a team, and yet you've come out, Steph is caught, I mean, catching fire, I don't even think does justice. Shout out to Hunger Games, Catching Fire. It doesn't even begin to capture what he's been doing, and the team is winning as well. So now you think about, okay, could they climb all the way up to 6? And, Goo, that would be quite a late run, but the very fact that nobody wants to face him in a 10-9 game or an 8-7, whatever the play-in scenario is going to be for them, nobody wants to face number 30 right now.
Well said. And I'll say this, Donnie, I'll just add this. Speaking of that in the play-in game, and I've been consistent with this, I'm not dissing Phoenix. I'm not dissing Utah. But, again, we talk about it and how, you know, they're new and relatively young, Utah, and they had their run in the bubble. But where I'm going, guys, is you don't want to see Steph this hot in this Warrior team in a 7-game series. And I know Adam Silver, he's in his office somewhere in New York, Steiny. He's like, the Warriors are getting in. We got that. I don't want to jinx them. They're getting in. But, Steiny, I just like their chances against a Phoenix or a Utah first round. I really do.
I don't like their chances against Utah. And that's where we had Bob Fitzgerald on yesterday. He would rather play Utah too, but of course
that's
he's
stupid. Don't say that again.
He's being kind of, what's the word? He's downplaying the Warriors' expectations. Let's just put it that way for sure. You know, before we get to Utah and Phoenix, which you know, I just think Utah is a team that's they're more experienced than you think. They've got a system where they know that if they can play within that system and defend like they normally do, they'll probably beat the Warriors. Phoenix is a team where, yeah, they have Chris Paul, but they've also got a bunch of players that have never played in the postseason before. And I just think that kind of wild card, you know, you're Devin Booker, or you're Ayton, or you're Bridges, and all of a sudden Curry's going on one. It might tend to affect a younger team and an inexperienced team more than Utah, but I guess the key would be let's not get ahead of ourselves right now, Dibs. But certainly got to enjoy where they're at. And, I mean, 4 o'clock tip-off. What's going to happen?
Well, you know, Steph is going to play 12 minutes in the first quarter, and you can hear it here on 95.7 The Game. That is, you know, short of, I won't even say the six-letter word because, you know, he's had a few of them in his career. But outside of that, he's given you 12 minutes in the opening quarter. So let's start right there. What's the first quarter bring? Because when he needed, what, 19 to catch and pass Wilt, he gave you 20-plus in the first. And now, Goo, he's been on such a tear. Forget the big game prediction, but opening 12, if I set the over-under at 12 for Steph, points, which way are you going, Goo? Does he get 12 in the first 12?
Yes, he does. Yeah, I'm going over. That would be over. And right now there is no antidote or remedy for, you know, for what he's doing. And, Dibs, you said something real quick here in a pre-show meeting, like what happened to the boxing one, what we thought was the kryptonite?
Right.
You know, if I'm Washington, I'm sitting in the weeds like I'm tired of this dude. Steiny, where's that?
They're not tired.
Or maybe it don't work.
Washington's not tired of him. They haven't.
You did tell me you need a series for it to work effectively. That's what you said yesterday.
Well, no. Not necessarily that. I just think it's tough for a team to implement a boxing one. Not that it can't be done, but, you know, in the middle of a season when, you know, Washington played somebody two nights ago and then tomorrow they play Philly or whoever they play. It's easier to kind of work on it over the course of a series. But, you know, I mean, we're getting to the point where I wouldn't be surprised if we see something different. But, there's only so many things you can do to defend a player. And, you know, this is – we talk about – Dibs, we talk about kind of the disadvantage that the Warriors have with Curry. Not the disadvantage, but how he's a smaller superstar. He's not LeBron James, not a post-up player. You know, in a lot of ways, we say that works against him, but – his ability to move off the ball makes him, not that he doesn't try, but it makes it harder to double team him because he's not at one particular spot on the floor all the time.
And he's not relying on one way, one modality to score the basketball because he can beat you off the dribble, go by you with a layup. He can beat you off the dribble, step back three, either direction. And his off the ball movement is so terrific. But, you know, if I'm Washington, I look the last time you played against the Warriors and Curry and think, we shut him down. I mean, he only had 32 in that game. And if you look at his last 11, two of the games in this 11-game run, he's only scored 32. So Washington held him to 11 of 25 floor and 5 of 12 from behind the line. If you offered that to Washington right now, you think they're taking it? Hey, Washington, Curry's going to go 11 for 25 and 5 of 12, 32 points. Go ahead and let everyone else beat you. Do you take it, Washington? Abso-blinking-lutely they take that.
Yes, sir.
You take it like Kramer took that deal when the hot coffee spilled on him.
Nice.
Free coffee for a year. I take it. I mean, absolutely. I mean, he's on that kind of run. Yeah, go.
Let me ask you this, Donnie, because you mentioned LeBron. Do you think Steph's getting enough credit at age 33 and for getting stronger? He's actually worked on his physique to where this run is able because he can go to the rim and it's not, oh, my gosh, close your eyes. It's going to be a car crash, little man against big man. He's gotten stronger. And, Dibs, I just wonder if he's gotten enough credit for, at this juncture of his career, going to the lab and the core getting stronger to where it's helped his game. He's giving you both, outside and inside. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think he is getting credit, and also he should also get footnoted that it's never been easier to be a lithely built 6'3 guy going to the rim. Because if and this is no disrespect to the chef or the way that our league is officiated, but some of these drives, you watch Isaiah go to the cup in the late 80s. They would take his wallet at the free throw line. He would be kicked in the shins at the block, let alone what happened in the air where, yeah, you shoot the shot and he'd get bodied into the stanchion. No call. And, you know, you'd be up 2-0. Just another night in Milwaukee, Steiny. So, you know, there are certain advantages to playing in 2021.
Yeah. 888-957-9570 is the number. How do you feel about the Warriors right now? Have you been steadfast in your support, or has Steph Curry's run gotten you back interested? I mean, I think there are a lot of Warrior fans out there that were thinking, this season, I don't know, is it even worth it to make the playoffs? So we're going to give you an opportunity to come clean right now. If Steph Curry has gotten you back into the mix, and I want to ask you honestly how you felt about this team two weeks ago compared to how you feel about this team now. If it's changed, let us know if it's changed. If you've always believed, let us know that. 888-957-9570. We got a great show for you today. At 1:30, we got John Beck. He is the quarterback coach for both Trey Lance and Justin Fields. He works closely with Kyle Shanahan. He worked for him prior. He's a former NFL quarterback with the Dolphins and with Washington. And he's worked with, again, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, and, in fact, Zach Wilson. And he has been a part of the 49ers process when it comes to working out Fields and Lance. So that's at 1:30. We're going to talk about we're going to talk football before that. But that's a great guest we got later on. 888-957-9570 is the number. Have the Golden State Warriors reeled you back in? We'll talk about it on the other side.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, we got a ball game today at 4 o'clock. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's a big one. Golden State Warriors against the Washington Wizards. No,
I love hearing you say that. It's a Warrior game against Washington at the tail end of a season where mediocrity is all around us. I'm trying to think about, Goo, what the Coco Times, Steiny, would think of this very matchup in 2004. Don't miss Vontigo Cummings and the, you know, or whatever that Warrior Club would be. Let's go back to like 1998 when they were, you know, with the Winters, Musselman, Cowens days, and see the exuberance of a Steiny with a Warrior game at Washington when he's on the road.
Oh, wow.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sure. D.C., I'm
sure.
Put
on that face.
Top 10 city in the in
yes,
the,
I mean, the nightlife is different than actually covering
Chocolate
the game.
City.
You know, no doubt. Yeah. You know what, though, Dibs? Looking back, if it would be, let's say it would have been 97, 98, it actually would have been a big one. You know why? Because Chris Webber would have been on the Wizards at that time.
Oh, yeah.
And so there would have been all the stories about how, you know, the
C-Web,
Warriors were a mess since Chris Webber's trade. Hey, how about this? Let me just throw these at you for tonight's ball game. Vegas has a couple prop bets tonight. Over under Curry points. 35.
Over. Sorry. You're supposed to give the number first, and then see. Go on. You know, today liquidate all assets. The gambling podcast. I'm trying to get the kinks out now. I'm sorry, Steiny. Go ahead and give the number.
Yeah.
Go ahead and give the number, and then I'll think about it.
35.
Over. I'm sorry. Did you say 55? Because I'll have to think about it at 55. Goo. 35.
35-5. 35-5. Goo.
You're giving money away.
Yeah, I'm going over, man. I'm riding this wave, as the kids say. This is a real thing. And, you know, like I told Fitch yesterday, Steiny, you go 5 minutes in the first quarter and you think, this might not be it. And then out of nowhere, lightning deals. Bap-bap! Now it's like 8-3, 9-3. Bap-bap! It's just like, this is incredible.
You know, yeah, it happened so fast. And to your point about Fitz, you could tell him right now that sunshine is no good, and he'd be like, "Goo, I got to agree with you. The bromance you two have going right now is,
hey,
I mean, it's something special."
A little jelly over there. Oh,
I'm definitely, well, especially when he comes after with, I mean, Guru is clearly my favorite, and then it's probably a tie between Steinmetz and Dibbs. It's like a tie, Bob. At least give me the silver. Come on, throw me a freaking bone here.
Well, no, I 35.5. You know what's funny? Here's the thing I was thinking about with Curry too, especially now in this streak. You ever, there's two kind of, like, you ever have a guy and it's like in the fourth quarter of a game and you look at the box score and it's like, geez, he's got 24. Where'd that, you know, it's like, boy, that was a quiet 24. Well, like, Curry's got the ability to get you a quiet 25, but then he's also got the ability to get you 15 in 5 minutes. So he's gonna get 25 tonight by accident. Right. There's no, I mean, even if he's not shooting well, he's going to go 9 for 24. Three of those are going to be threes. He's going to get to the line. You know what I mean? So I can't believe I'm saying this, but I would absolutely take the over on 35.5 now. These things have sometimes take a life on their own. And, I mean, his teammates are, like, looking for him now. They know everything's feeding off him. I got the over on that.
Three of the last 11 – he's gone under 35.5. The aforementioned 32-point shutdown against Washington. He had 32 in a win over Chicago. He only played 30 minutes. And then he had 33 in the win over Cleveland, where he was, you know, only 33, Goo. So I think 35.5 is pretty pretty good line. It's funny that his name is Curry when you describe him the way you do, Steiny, because Curry can both be incredibly spicy immediately. I'm talking about the food here.
Oh, yeah.
Or it could be that sneaky spice where it's not until you swallow it and have like two or three bites, it's like, damn, this is spicy. So Curry may be the most appropriately named star in our league, Goo.
Yeah, and I'll say this. Remember I told you my guy Yankee Mario, Steiny and Dibbs, told me about A-Rod. He wasn't an A-Rod guy. I go, why? He's a 5-and-5 guy. I go, break that down. He hits his home runs when they're down 5 or up 5, never when you need it. I go, okay, that's going to stick with me. But where I'm going is Curry has the ability to, when he's great, like the other team will be going on a run, they're down 7 or 9, and it's like, man, I miss here. And he'll hit that 3 to get it to 6, or they'll be up 1. The other team's on a run. Steiny, here's a 3. Bam, up 4. He has the ability to just control the magic. And to me, that's what, you know, sticks out in this run. It's when he's doing it. But I'll say this, and this is not getting any run. He may get the scoring title. This would be his second one, I believe, 15 or 16, if I'm clean up on all something. But, I mean, that's not getting run. How sweet would that be for a year where we're like, can the guy still play? Can he do it? Not me, but the Jackals. I mean, to get a scoring title and lead this team to the offs, Dibs and Steiny, special, man.
Straight cleanup on aisle 3.
I mean, I know you're gonna.
Oh.
You know what? What's he averaging? 32?
Oof.
What if I told you that doesn't really impress me? I figured he'd probably be up around 30 because he had to be up around 30. What's blowing me away is 49% from the field, 43% from three-point range.
Oh, my God.
These numbers are right. They're in line or above his career percentages. That's the part to me that is just that I didn't see coming. I figured he'd average 30, Dibs, but I think I said I'd be very surprised if he shot 40% from three this year. And there he is, right at 43, like he always is. That's been blowing me away.
In the torrential run he's been on, he's shooting it at 50%. He's 55, Ooh. 50, like 92 over the course of the last 6 to 8 games. And that's where, and you realize, Goo, the attention he draws and the amount of shots that he needs to take, because you don't have Clay and obviously no KD. And then you add in the degree of difficulty and, you know, the shots he's hitting from 30, the dribble it up on a fast break situation. And just pull it from 30. Or he hit one last game where it was a secondary break where he led the break down the floor, didn't get the ball, but then cut from the baseline up to the wing, and it was just the catch and shoot from 27 while going right, drifting right. just rails it. He hits him from the right wing extended, the left wing extended. Not a ton of corner threes, but occasionally he'll dribble his way in there. And, of course, it's got to be a fadeaway into the bench corner three. It can't just be a catch-and-shoot corner three. Mm. It's usually off the dribble with a guy charging at him. So it's not only the volume of makes, but it's the variety of makes for me.
I mean, I feel like he's taken tougher shots this year than ever before from three-point range. That's why I can't believe the percentage he is shooting. I mean, that, you know, I really did. I thought he'd average about 30 this year, but I never imagined it would be like this, this efficient. It kind of defies basketball logic, to be quite honest, Dibs.
Yeah, and to do it for this long now starts to really skew your numbers in a positive direction for the season. Yeah, because if he's got 11 games of 30 or more in a row. Let's say he ends up having 20 of 22 games of 30 or more points, and the percentages continue. Well, then you're going to look back at this year and say, he had career highs in points and in 3 points. How do you have a career high in 3-point percentage when he shot three more threes a game than he ever had? I mean, those little... that little minutia goo. And yesterday we talked about how do you shape a legacy, and it's championships and it's accolades is a big part of it for me. And if you are the scoring champ, if you look back at his career, and it was, by the way, you said 15 or 16. It was actually 15, 16. So you get points for that. No cleanup on aisle goo. You actually had it both ended. It was a two-way go for you. But when you look back at his career, if he's got three or four scoring titles, now all of a sudden you compare that to other players and how many scoring titles they had.
Yeah. Now, and real quick, Stoney, the rat on the table in all of this for me is not one person walking this great earth will say Steph Curry's a ball hog. Like, I'm fond of Harden. I was a ball hog. Union City Mormon Rec League. I would just, you know, jack him. Where I'm going is his two guys in his starting five, Looney and Green, they don't shoot. So by default, those shots and that offense go to him. It's by necessity. But when you're watching this fantastic run, never once do you say, Dibs and Steining, oh, he's hogging. I've seen ball hogs. We all seen them. Westbrook, when he got his MVP, there's not one ounce of that when you watch this Warrior team. And again, it's because he's starting with Looney and Dre, two guys that don't look for their offense. It's just a beautiful thing. And he's just so lucky. And they're lucky to have him. We're lucky to have him.
I would agree with that. 888-957-9570. I'm interested to hear from Warrior fans because, Guru thinks that this team is capable of, using Guru's words, shocking the world. And Guru thinks they could certainly get to the playoffs after a play-in series or maybe sneak up to six. And then could they actually pull off something that was pulled off here in 2007 with a We Believe kind of thing? That's what it would be, because they would be the seventh or eighth seed when it was all said and done. Have your feelings changed about the Golden State Warriors in the last 2 weeks? And I mean, the bottom line is, do you think this team can make some noise right now? And, I mean, Goo and Dibs, 2 weeks ago, I would have said no. They can't make noise. And right now I'll say, I don't think so, but now I can't rule it out because this guy's playing amazing right now.
And the idea that there's going to be noise made soon at the Chase Center, I think, helps the case for them to actually make noise themselves. Because
you can think about
No, just as you were talking about make noise, I was thinking about the hackneyed blinking sign at every single arena at every level, make some noise, and then we, the sheep, in the crowd will actually make some noise. Yeah, Goo, it's like a Pavlov's dog, second reference this week, call and response. They flash applause when they tape sitcoms and everyone claps, you know, and that's your duty. And when you see make some noise, you usually do make some noise. And so Warriors with a good home slate ahead, and that could help propel them up the standings. And maybe they get one, if not two, home play-in games, and Chase Center starts to get an identity, and you get into a series, Goo, you're guaranteed two games at home. So I know Joe Lacob is licking his chops and hoping to fill the coffers with some people and some noise, because that may help them actually make noise, Steiny, and go on a run.
You know what, Dibs? I don't doubt that. I mean, when you've been playing in front of zero fans for over a year.
I mean, zero. Yeah.
You get 5,000, let's call it, what we'll call it, 5,000-6,000 they'll get in there tonight, I guess. Or, I'm sorry, Friday night against Denver. But here's the other thing I was thinking. Maybe I got to believe those 6,000 fans will be spread out throughout the Chase Center.
No doubt.
And yet, you know, in theory, if everybody's been either vaccinated or provides a negative test, this is like wishful thinking, but God, wouldn't it be cool if they could stuff everybody, like all 6,000 in the lower bowl, get, you know, tape off the upper bowl like the Oakland A's do, and just get like it'd be like a tight 6,000 seat arena. In fact, you know, the one thing about, I know they can cut that arena in half for a concert that would probably draw about 6,000 or 8,000. I don't think they can do that with a basketball court, but that would be, to me, that would be incredible. They get a little 5,000 seat atmosphere in there.
I watched the, I was just going to say, Dibs, I watched the Kings Minnesota game last night, and they had fans, but I couldn't really tell. You know, I ain't hating on Sack. I don't know exactly how many were there, but I almost felt like it sounded more rowdy and livelier when they were playing the fake music. So hopefully that won't be the case at Chase.
That's classic.
Stephen A. Smith.
Right there.
What?
No, that's Daryl the Guru Johnson from the Q concert.
Wow,
when he went up on stage representing all of us, and he wanted to get the crowd at, ladies, you're looking so good tonight. Fellas, are you having fun? And then he gave them a chance to applaud themselves.
Give yourself a round of applause.
Hey, Goo, you know, I know we're going to get to this a little bit later, but
yeah.
And, we all know what happened yesterday, but you know, when you were talking about the T-Wolves, they clearly went out and played inspired basketball after the verdict yesterday.
Ooh, boy.
Dead serious. They dedicated that game to George Floyd. I'm talking about the Minnesota Timberwolves. That turned into a very emotional game, last night. And, I just figured I'd throw that in there. It turned out to be a huge game for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
And that didn't go. I'll see you, Dibs. That didn't go into the pre-planning, Stoney. As soon as that tipped, I was like, "Damn it! I omitted that."
Right.
Yeah. And that's a big omission. Up at 118, Guru's lock in quotations of the day, and we actually have a new wrinkle we're going to present to you, Goo. Up at 118. So that's, stay tuned. Oh. Kyle actually had a brilliant idea. We know he is brilliant, and we're putting together a little something for you. 118 today, Goo. Hashtag fade the Goo. I'm afraid so.
Excitement in that voice.
Let's go out. Let's get some action in here. Let's go to D. D's in Walnut Creek. What's going on, D? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Hey, you know, you guys have such a big platform. Why don't we get new T-shirts out there that say, "We Believe"? Because we can do it. We can show we can pray with anybody. The right team shows up. The re-believe, we can do that.
Oh, re-believe.
Wow,
I gotcha. Okay.
Right.
All right. I thought you said we believe. Re-believe. Interesting. Thanks for the call, D.
Yeah.
Not bad.
I'll
the question
give
them
a
is
B plus, A minus on that. I like that.
I don't dislike it either. The problem is, I think the only issue is, you know, does a team with Curry on it want to be anything less than, you know,
I gotcha. Hey,
it's not about winning a series, but, you know, you could. It might work. What was the guy's name who did all that? I forget. Was it Paul Wong, I believe? Remember, it was a fan who started We Believe.
Yeah.
Just grew organically. Dibs, re-believe, re-believe. You're in or out.
A lot of great Dibs.
I'll take it under advisement. It's, you know, it's not bad. I think that... you know, the beauty of the championship run was strength in numbers was one of the great monikers that came through. I think one will maybe emerge naturally. If they're the eight and they go to take on the one, then maybe re-believe works.
All right. You know what? Hey, Goo, I can tell re-believe is not bad. You know why? Dibs had to buy some time.
Yeah.
Dibs
will
usually shut that down. He'll usually shut that ish down. But
no,
he said,
think about it.
It is a little premature. I mean, it looks likely that they're going to make it in as at least the 10 seed. Up in 10 minutes last night in our league, we'll give you a good hard look at where they stand. But let's not start printing each other's shirts just yet, if I can quote the wolf from Pulp Fiction.
That's not bad.
Hey, let me run this by you, Steiny, because it was either you or Dibs. I think it was you, and you guys talked about the cadence and the quarterback of the defense. And I got to tell you, I was thoroughly impressed with the team defense that they played on Embiid. And you were like, one of you two, I think it was you, Steiny, okay, we'll double him when he puts it on the floor. When he's at the top, we'll do this and that. And I thought, no shade at Wiseman, but I'm like forecasting. If they do hook up with Utah, if they do hook up with Phoenix, there's nobody on those two teams that's going to draw that attention. They're going to guard Booker straight up, and he may get his, but it ain't going to be Booker's. And with Utah, okay, we got to watch out for Mitchell, but Gobert is not going to, you know, command that attention. And that's why, Stein, I feel like from a defensive standpoint, that's what's going to keep them in the games. And if it's close, Dibs, and you got 30, close it out.
You know, it's funny, yeah, though, as it relates to Gobert, I've never been a huge fan, but I've certainly become more of a fan in the last couple years. Goo, and I know he's not a post-up player, but I got to tell you what, his sheer size, especially without even Wiseman being able to give you 10 or 15 minutes, Gobert's sheer size, I see a bunch of 20-20s from him, to tell you the truth.
He had 20 rebounds last time they played, right? Yeah, Warriors won, I believe. Yeah, something crazy.
Utah's no joke, and I just think they got a better chance against Phoenix. But you're right, we got a long way to go. We got a long way to go before we even need to talk about that.
Let's make it in the play-in game, and then win the play-in game or games, and then we'll talk about slogans and T-shirts and viewer parties and all the rest, right? Right now, you got to worry about Washington, a team that came to town and cuffed you around in a spot where you needed a win. So one step at a time, gentlemen.
The one thing I'll say, though, is now, like, and this was the case before the season, but it seems like now we've all figured out this play-in game. There's a big difference between 6, 8, and then 9 and 10. Like, 6 would be the dream, obviously. But the Warriors, their next goal is to get to 8. And then, obviously, 7. But because 8 guarantees you a home game if you need it. 9, you know, and the difference between 8 and 9 is 7 and 8, one game and you're in is all you have to win. 8, 9, or 10, you have to win both games. So there's a huge advantage if you're 7 or 8. And 8 is certainly within the realm of possibility now, Dibs.
Yeah, and 7 guarantees you essentially two home games, because even if you lose to 8, you host the 9-10 winner.
Right.
And, you know, if you can somehow get to 6, then you're guaranteed two home games in a real series. So in a chance to you know, take on a 3-seeded Clipper team right now, and who knows what could happen. Portland is not necessarily rock solid.
No,
at the 6,
right.
Dallas is definitely coming for him.
Yeah, that's it. I can't believe I'm saying it, but 6 might be in play. Let's go to Austin. Austin's in San Jose. What's up, Austin?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Yeah, just everybody. I love the last couple games with Steph, and guy's fantastic. I think his value to the league has gone up. Certainly Joe Laker, but tighten up his checkbook, because I think the value to the franchise just went up. So whatever he was going to negotiate with Warriors, it's going to go up exponentially based on this most recent performance. But not to get too carried away, though, I think we got to remember that this team is still just a play-in team, and it's not what Steph and Draymond had said, you know, 6 seed. We're a long ways away from 6 seed. So next year, even though we can all celebrate short-term, you know, this play-in, the reality is that this is not acceptable, and so we have to rebuild in the offseason. So that's something not to lose sight of. Euphoria today, but reality will strike very soon once we leave the play-in. So thanks again, guys. Appreciate it.
No doubt about it. But you know what? That reality setting in, I think, is a good thing, even if you get swept, because you're getting some action for Wiggins. Steph gets back into the playoffs a little bit. I'll take my chances if nothing else. 888-957-9570 is the number. I see a lot of people on hold. We will absolutely positively get to those calls. We also have last night in our league. Last night in our league and how the Golden State Warriors were affected by last night's play in the NBA. That's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, and it's all sponsored by Safeway. Safeway, Northern California's largest buyer of produce, has some sweet local fresh deals this week. Find green asparagus, local from Lodi, just $1.48 per pound, juicy strawberries, 1 pound, and raspberries, blackberries, and blueberries, 6 ounce size, are just 3 for $10. Safeway, come in and explore.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, coming up today at 1:30, we got John Beck. He's the quarterback coach for Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, and Justin Fields. John's got a very close relationship with Kyle Shanahan, worked with him about 10 years ago. And the 49ers essentially provided Beck and Fields and Lance, their routines, for their pro days. So the 49ers essentially have been working one step away from Lance and Fields guys, and I gotta believe they've got the book on both of them. Because they have such a great relationship with John Beck, who is coaching both those quarterbacks, and Dibs has actually worked with Zach Wilson in the past.
Yeah, John Beck having been coached by Kyle Shanahan. So the relationship goes back to Beck's days as a quarterback. And interesting to note that Justin Fields had a first pro day that was viewed by many. It was televised. And then Kyle Shanahan had a few other things he wanted to see from the second pro day that was not going to be open to the public, and he wanted to see, you know, Fields be able to roll in the other direction and have some actions going in the other direction that he didn't already see on film. So just a chance to do some additional due diligence on a player. And, you know, if you're the quarterback, you're happy to oblige a team that could be your future employer. You want to make a good impression, so you're happy to be put through the paces, I would imagine, by Kyle Shanahan, a guy who might be interested in taking you.
Yeah, Steiny, to me, it's part of the process, and it's kind of funny we don't hear about this more, but it's kind of, from a Niner standpoint, I love it. You know, hey, we want to see you work on these areas, and then we come watch you, and then it's almost like they won't tell us, but damn, I could tell Dibs, man, Steiny can't hit that out route worth a damn. You know, it's like this has something to it. So we are Steve Young 8 days away from finding out who it's going to be. I think they already know, but guys, I got to tell you, it's like Christmas, and then we get past all this. Man, he ordered a number 2 at Burger King. That must mean he's going 4. You know, just all this stuff. I can't wait, man. So it's exciting as hell.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a great night. That's next Thursday, by the way. We'll find out who the 49ers draft at number 3. We got a bunch of people on hold. We'll get to you, but right after. Last night in our league.
Oh, a little bit of a light night, gentlemen, from the Western Conference. So we tried to go with the 3 Western games, and we sprinkled a little bonus in for our guy, Steiny.
Arvidas Sabonis? At the
no, not a, nor did I give you a Domantas Sabonis, but a nice little bonus for you, Steiny, and your secret love of a certain Eastern team may make an appearance in last night in our league. But the first game, we stay west. The headline, Pelicans plucked by the Hardenless Nets.
Irving, left of the lane, stops, fumbled it, gets it back, in traffic, puts it in off the window along the baseline. How did he do it?
Chris Carino on WFAN New York, 134-129 the final. Goo, the Nets didn't have KD or Harden, but it was enough to beat a beleaguered New Orleans team.
Yeah, they just, for whatever reason, can't close. And, Steiny, you told me to take it easy on Van Gundy, but something's just off in New Orleans. I mean, ball played. They were in the game, but, again, just another one dropped. And to the Nets' credit, They're without somebody every night, and they just keep getting W's.
They're still too young. I think the Pelicans are trying to make Zion their best player. I think he is, but Ingram and him trying to figure it out. You know, Ingram had a huge year last year. Now here comes Zion. It's a lot to figure out there. I get the feeling Ball knows he's not going to be there long term. I agree with you, Goo. They're not reaching their potential. Let's put it that way.
There you go.
And the Pelicans now 4 games out of 10th, gentlemen. The Spurs and Warriors in a virtual tie for 10th. Yeah, it's coming up on night time there. Game number 2, the headline, Clippers bum out the Blazers.
George against Nasir Little now on the switch. 5 to shoot. George, crossover. George steps it back. He'll try the left wing 3 over Little. It goes! The moon ball for Paul George, and he buries it.
33-11 for PG-13, and we appreciate the call from Noah Eagle on KLAC. The Clippers, Goo, have won 9 of 10, but don't look now, Portland. The lead over Dallas in that safe spot at 6, down to a game and a half.
Yeah, I'm just, I told you, I think the Clippers are coming out the West, and Steiny and Dibbs, Paul, PG-13, there's not anything offensively he can't do. And I think bringing in Rondo will help him exercise those demons in the offs. Don't sleep on the Clips. Just don't.
Yeah, Paul George, unfortunately, he will be judged solely on the postseason. He can have a great regular season. He's having a pretty good one, but he's going to have to produce in the playoffs.
And he's putting his team in a position to maybe host a potential Game 7 in the opening round as the 3 seed. Game number 3, the headline, and apologies to Goo here with the lock of the day ramifications, but the T-Wolves clown the Kings.
Edwards, top of the key, looking for some space, drives on Whiteside, got the whistle, and he got the shot to drop. A 3-point opportunity for the rookie, Anthony Edwards.
The Cat, the Big Cat, at 26-18. Thank you to Alan Horton, WCCO, with the call. Don't look now, Goo, but Minnesota no longer the worst record in our league.
Yeah, let me close the door. Guys, I got a crush, and his name is Anthony Edwards. Dude, Stoddy, this dude's going to the next J.R. Ryder, man. I'm telling you, or better. He's got something. And that Minnesota team, I just thought Sac was going to get hot again. They didn't, but they're a fun watch, and they got some pieces. D'Angelo Russell back.
Goo, you can't have anything to do with Minnesota. That's my team. I get two teams. Minnesota. No, I mean, look, since Chris Finch has taken over, it's a completely different team. They play harder defensively. They try. They really try hard. And I'll tell you what, if they keep their 1-3 pick this year,
it's bothering me. Oh,
they may be half decent next year, but no, Anthony Edwards is he's gotten better over the course of the season, no doubt.
Only 2.5 games behind Orlando and Detroit, by the way, as they may tumble out of that bottom three, which would give the Warriors a better chance to claim that pick this year. Well, the final game, Steiny, from your favorite team in the West to your favorite in the East. The headline, the Hawks hammer the Magic.
Right corner three, Solo is in and out. Rebound, John Collins. He goes up and a reverse slam. Oh, brother.
Steve Holman, the call, WZGC in Atlanta. Steiny, we go to you first. Trey Young with 25. They're sitting in fourth in the East. How happy are you?
Oh, I'm real happy. They still got a long way to go. 18-6, guys, over their last 24. 18-6. Of course, Solo is Solomon Hill. I mean, honestly, the thing that they've been
LeBron.
The thing that's been impressive for the Hawks is they've actually not been that healthy, but their roster's really deep. They got some legitimate NBA players 1 through 12 or 13. I wouldn't be surprised if there's growing pains in the postseason for them, but no, they're a fun watch. They're a fun watch, and Trae Young's playing better since Nate McMillan took over.
And I'll say this about the Hawks. They're having a great season, but Steiny and Dibbs, if the season ended today, 4 plays 5, right? And they would hook up with the Knicks. I'm not saying they can't beat the Knicks, but the Knicks, they get after it. I think that would be a great matchup, but it would totally be two different styles. And man, Atlanta would have to bring it.
Nate McMillan, coach of the year, guys?
I'm going Tom Thibodeau. I'm going Tibbs.
Can you do that? A guy who's that?
Oh, interim? Nah. Nah.
I'm or a guy to think. Who, you know, jumped in midstream.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's you look at Michael Malone and what he's going to end up doing without his best player, and you might get the MVP, and, you know, Denver could be sitting there with a high seed in the West coming off of what they did last year.
Amani Williams could easily get it.
Phoenix
coach.
Phoenix, no,
I mean, they're 41-16.
What about Snyder from Utah? Quinn Snyder, no?
No, possible, but you know
it's
what?
It's funny, that, these narratives, Al.
The coach of the year tends to go to a coach of a team that exceeded expectations. I could just
Knicks
see
then. New York right now. Yeah, Tibbs.
What about Phoenix? Phoenix is 2 in the West. 2. That's a hell of a job by Monty Williams. But no, Thibodeau's going to be in there. You got to be. I mean, when's the last time the Knicks won? They're coming up
they're
on
hot. Yeah.
I mean, when's the last time they went to the playoffs?
Not 5, not 6, not 7.
Thank you very
much. Man, here's the win totals of the last coaches of the year. Keep in mind, Nick Nurse, they went 46-18 last year. But before that, in full seasons, 60, 59, 55. Some guy won 73 and was coach of the year. I mean, I don't see why. 60, 62, 57. Popovich went 50-16 when he won it. Point being, the lowest winning percentage, Steiny, the last guy to win it under a 600 winning percentage, Sam Mitchell in 06-07. Toronto went 47-35. So if you're looking for a coach of the year, look at teams with a 600 winning percentage and head north.
Yeah, and every time I hear
Williams
Sam Mitchell's
may be the
name,
guy. Yeah.
Every time I hear Sam Mitchell's name, dumb school.
You see him on NBA TV using the shoe polish in his hair. It's too much. Come on, Sam. If I had his number, I'd send him a text. Lay off a little too much juice. Yeah. Anyway,
you remember that little exchange between him and a beat writer up in Toronto when he was there, I think, and they got beat pretty bad the night before, and Mitchell gave him off the next day. Then that practice the next day, one of the writers says, "Why didn't you practice the next day after you guys had got beat by 20? And he was like, "Well, my guys were tired. I could tell. You know, you get a feel for that when you're coaching a team." He said, "Yeah, but you lost by 20. I would think old school, you come back and work on your stuff." Sam Mitchell goes, "That ain't old school. That's dumb school."